Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Awesome to see you. I want to say a big happy new year, happy 2018 to everyone here today. I'm so glad to hear this morning. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Yeah? Okay, good. Let's bow our heads and will you just agree with me in prayer today? Thank you, Father, for new seasons, new beginnings, new years. Thank you for new messages. Thank you for being challenged by the Word of God. Lord, help us to understand your Word, not just with our mind, but deep in our heart, to believe it in our heart. Like you said in your Word in Romans 9:10, that you need to believe it in your heart, and then you need to confess it with your mouth. So today we want to do both of that. We need to start confessing what we believe and start hearing it, so that it produces life and faith in us and other people. Bless the word as it's preached today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 I almost went on a prayer journey there. Okay, so good to see you this morning. We're starting a brand new series, and if you got a copy of that, you haven't yet, that's our new bulletin. So if you're looking for the bulletin, this is it. We're simplifying it, and on the back, you'll see three of the main things that are happening, which is our men's breakfast that Dan talked about. That was Dan Fox, and we talked about, you need to talk about fasting and prayer, and we talked about divorce care, but take note of those three events. But today we're going to focus on the front cover. We're going to talk about 2018 and moving on. Can you say those words? Moving on. Moving on into a year of good things, okay? So let's start with the words of Jesus. And we'll go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 18. Now, it was Jesus' practice every Sunday to go into synagogue. And this one particular Sunday, he went in there, and I think it was in his hometown of Nazareth, and he was handed the scroll, and on it were written prophetic words from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 61. And this is what Jesus said, the words of Jesus: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." And then he says, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The year. This year that Jesus is talking about, he's not talking about 12 months. It's more than just 12 months. What he's really talking about is a new era, a new season, a new time for humanity. The year of the Lord's favor is a never-ending proclamation of the good things that God wants to do in our lives. Amen? It's a whole new dynamic. When God came to earth in the form of a son, Jesus was announcing a whole new dynamic that is for us today. We are living in the year of the Lord's favor. Amen? And we can take this, we can use this, we can believe it for 2018. I don't know about you, but I'm believing for a year of good things. Are you believing for that? Good things. Breakthroughs. Taking new territory. Amen? I'm believing for that. You know, in this series, what I want to do is I want to move us forward into this year in God's favor. I believe this, that God has more for you beyond what you are experiencing right now. Do you agree with that? God is not finished in your life yet. He has more to do. I want to give you three scenarios or three events. The first one is historical, And the two others, one is Old Testament, the other one is New Testament. They're both historical and they're biblical. First event. It happened in the year 1519. And there was a guy named Hernando Cortez. Anybody heard of him? He was a Spanish conquistador, a conqueror. He was a statesman all too. He had also gone and explored and discovered and conquered places like Cuba. But he was sent on an assignment by the King of Spain, year 1519. And he went up from Spain to discover and conquer new lands. And so he was sent with a little over 500 soldiers, a few servants and slaves, and 9 sailing ships, boats. And they sailed across the oceans and they discovered the ancient Aztec Empire of Mexico, which at that time numbered over 5 million people, most and many of whom were mighty warriors. Immediately, Cortez realized that they had a problem. And so did his fighting men realize they had a problem. You know what the problem was? Logistical. 500 men facing over 500 people. The odds were definitely stacked against them. So Cortez had to make a decision. Does anybody know what his decision was? His decision was, let's go to the next slide. Burn the boats. Burn the ships. He gave orders to the servant and they burned every ship, every boat. What he was saying is, there was no retreat. There was no going back. They placed themselves in a position where they had to go forward. Okay, keep that in mind. Second scenario. This one happened in the Old Testament. This is a story in 1 Kings chapter 19 of two guys. Go back to the slide. Two guys. There's an older guy named Elisha, and there's a younger guy, Elijah, and there's a younger guy named Elisha. Okay? And so let's read the scripture in verse 21. It says, so Elisha left him, that is Elijah, and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah, and he became his servant. So Elisha was a young man, came from, and I preached about this before, some of you might remember. He came and he grew up in a very wealthy farming community, or a very wealthy farming family, and who owned 12 yoke of oxen, 24 oxen. If you were wealthy, you could afford oxen. Most people only had one pair of oxen, but they owned 12 pair of oxen, plus all the plowing equipment, plus they hired the workers to work the plows. So he was very wealthy. That's Elisha. Now, Elijah was a prophet of God, a famous prophet of God. He was also advisor to the king. So he was a very prominent person, and he was recognized as a very godly man. So one day, the story goes that Elisha's plowing in his field with his 12th pair of oxen, and Elijah comes along, the prophet comes, takes his clothes off, and he throws it on the shoulders of the younger guy, Elisha. Hardly says a word. Turns around and walks away. But Elisha understood. This was a symbolic act. This symbolic act was literally saying to Elisha, I see something special on you. There is a God call on you. Will you respond to that call and follow me? Elisha says, wait a minute. I've got unfinished business to do. He says, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye. But the scripture says the first thing that he did is that he burnt the plows. And he slaughtered the oxen, and they had one great big barbecue. Now, I want you to think about this. He could have, Elisha could have maybe took that plowing equipment and maybe just stored it away in the barn. Couldn't he? Just in case it didn't work out, right? He could have took those oxen, which are today would be like two brand new John Deere, high-tech John Deere tractors, right? And he could have took them, he could have put them out the pasture just in case. But the scripture says he burnt the plows and he slaughtered the oxen. This was Elisha's way of leaving the former way of life behind, of leaving his security behind, of leaving all that he knew behind. This was Elisha's way of saying, I'm moving on to a new life, and there's no going back for me. Third scenario. One more. Give you more. Third scenario. Story of Jesus and the calling of the first disciples. Jesus and the first disciples. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 18-20. And the Message version puts it this way. Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Jesus said to them, come with me, and I'll make you a new kind of fisherman. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask any questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. Every time I read this story, it always reminds me of what I heard a Bible commentator say about what the disciples did back then. And what he said was this, that when those disciples dropped their nets, when those nets hit the ground, it thundered in heaven. Why did it thunder in heaven? Because this was very significant. This is a one-time, one-day decision because of the encounter that they had with Jesus Christ and the determination to leave the old behind and go on to the new life, to move on. Amen? Four things I want to give you from these three scenarios, three events. Four things. Are you ready for this? Write them down. If you have a pen and paper, put it in your iPad, and go to the City Light apps, and there's a note-taking part there too. Number one, you can't start a new chapter until you end the old one. You can't start a new chapter until you end the old one. Here's another thing I see out of those stories. There are times in your life when you can't play it safe. Right? If you're a believer in Christ, there are times in your life you can't play it safe. And usually the times that you can't play it safe is the times when God is calling you to move forward, which is usually most of the time, almost all the time, right? You can't play it safe. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 14. I believe this is all Message. I'm getting a bit into the Message just for this, the Message version in this particular Sunday's Message, all right? Here's what Paul says. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. And he says, I'm off and running. God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. To Jesus. His plan, his purpose, his will for our lives. Amen? Yeah. And then Paul says, and I'm not turning back. In other words, Paul is saying, there's no option B for me. No option B. So, burn the boats. Burn the plows. Drop your nets. Job chapter 17, verse 9. Great scripture says this. The righteous keep moving what? Forward. The righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become what? Stronger and stronger. Isn't that God's will for our life? To keep moving forward in our life, in every area of our life, and to get stronger and stronger in our faith and our passion and our serving God, right? So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I'm going to put them up on the screen. Two questions I want you to ask yourself this morning. First question, what does moving forward look like for me? What does moving forward look like for me in my life? Now, I know most of you, but maybe for one of you, for one or two of you or more of you, maybe it's just simply just following Jesus this year, right? For others, it might be becoming less of an observer and become a full-on follower of Jesus Christ, right? For others, it might be that we choose God. We choose God over people. We start to choose God's way and God's word over the influence that other people have on us, right? So what is it? What does moving forward look like for me in my life? For some of you, it's to get more involved. It might be to join a small group. It might be to connect more with people, right? So what does moving forward in your life look like for you? Second question, what area is God asking you to make an adjustment, a change? An adjustment and a change where you really put Jesus number one in your life, right? What is it? You know, for some of us, and maybe even for me, it's simply just taking a step of faith and then following it up with action. You know, not just talking about it, not just thinking about it, but move it from the talk stage to the walk stage, right? For some of us, and for most of us, and for me included, it's improving that one area of life or that areas of life where I'm not quite putting God first, right? So maybe that adjustment and that change is simply looking at the areas of your life and just start putting God number one in your life. Amen? Areas like finances. Start putting that number one. Like, use your finances the way that God wants you to use them. Right? Putting God number one in your finances. How about putting God number one in your time? Well, I need my time. I need my time to relax, you know? I think we all need our time. But God wants to use your time for his kingdom and for his glory, right? How about personal devotions? Putting God first. Really putting God first in your personal devotions. How about we do that this year, right? How about your relationships? How about putting God first in your relationships? God first before even family and even before friends. God first. You know, we can all get stuck in some area of life, right? You know, and I think even for some of us, it might be simply to keep on doing what you're doing, but do it in a fresh, new way, yeah. Right? And not giving up, but keeping on that path that God has for you. There's always some area in our life that can need change and improvement where we're not moving ahead. So the best thing we could do is, let's ask God, what area of my life do I need to move forward again? Where I need to put you number one, right? So number one, you can't start a new chapter unless you close the old one, end the old one. Point number two, we need to stop being defensive about where we are in life and simply start moving forward. Stop being defensive. You know, there are patterns, negative patterns, that will stay in our life forever. You know why? Because we defend them. I am the way that I am because of my father. I'm an alcoholic because my dad was an alcoholic. You know, I am where I am financially, my job and career, because I didn't have the privilege of having a post-secondary education. I am the way I am because I came from a broken, fractured family, right? See, we all have areas in our life that we can be defensive about, right? We can all defend those things in our life, but it's when you stop being defensive that you can start moving ahead in your life, right? You know, can we say these words? Burn the boats. Say it again. Burn the boats. Yeah. Burn the boats called excuses, past failures, disappointments. Amen? And let's move on. Listen, and I know this is true. You cannot win in life by being defensive, right? You cannot win in life by being defensive. And you see this in sports all the time. There are two ways to play the game, right? A team can play the game where they're always on the offense, they're primarily offensive, or they can be a defensive-minded team. And I see this all the time. I see this in NHL hockey games, and I just saw this recently in a game just a while ago. One team was charging ahead. They were being offensive-minded, and they were getting the goals, and they were really pressing in, and they got one goal, two goals, three goals. They were ahead like 3 or 4 goals. 4-0. And they were heading, and they were going into the third period, and they were just, you know, they were pressing in, but all of a sudden they got into this defensive mode. Have you seen it happen? Defensive mode. They just sort of backed up. They started protecting their lead, and the other team sort of just charged in. They got one goal, they got two goals in about 22 seconds, and boom! The team that should have won the game lost the game. Why? Because they got on the defensive, right? Do you ever hear that saying? The best offense is the best defense is a good offense, right? It's a God offense, right? So I say, keep making moves in the direction that God is calling you. Amen? Keep making moves in the direction that God is calling you. Don't nurse old wounds and failures, right? And don't start talking all that negative stuff, right? Because when you start talking all that negative stuff, it literally steals your faith and it could destroy your future. So what do? Muzzle your mouth, right? Muzzle your mouth, like zip it. Shut it up, right? Don't say it. You know, to see good things in our life, we got to stay on the offensive. Not having offense, but being offensively minded, right? How do we do that? You know how we do that? You start believing. Believe that God will answer your prayers. Believe that God will help you through every problem, every struggle that you have in life, right? And stop speaking these words that say, I'm not going to make it. Stop saying you're not going to make it. Stop saying you're not going to make it in your finances. Stop saying you're not going to make it. Here, especially, stop saying you're not going to make it in your marriage. Stop saying that. You know, I heard a preacher say that the spirit of faith is in our words. The spirit of faith is literally in our words, right? So the way we talk can literally build up our faith, or it can destroy your faith, and it'll deeply affect your future. Amen? So, stop saying you're not going to make it. You're going to make it. If you're having struggles in your marriage, go to divorce care, right? Go to hear words that'll help to build your marriage up. But that's such a big thing, you know? Stop being defensive. Stop being defensive-minded. Here's another one. Stop being defensive when the offering time comes. Stop being defensive during the offering times. Oh no, here it is again. Now they're always asking for money. Why do they always ask for money? You know, instead, why don't you just give generously, joyfully, and declare, because I'm a giver, my God shall meet all my needs according to his glorious riches through Christ Jesus. Why not just say that? You know, and besides that, the Bible says that God is the giver of the seed and he multiplies it back to the sower. Amen? You know, have that mindset, have that attitude that is positive and that is assertive and that trust in a God who is so powerful that he can provide for you. Amen? Have that mindset that says, this is a year of good things and I'm gonna get my breakthrough. Amen? Next point. Breakthroughs. Who wants a breakthrough? I need a breakthrough. There are several breakthroughs I'm looking forward to. Point number three. Breakthroughs always begin with prayer. Breakthroughs always begin with prayer. I heard a preacher say it, and I believe it. Nothing happens without prayer. Prayer is so powerful. We need to pray. When I'm talking about prayer, I'm not talking about when you have a problem and you're going through a hard time, you get down on your knees, you cry out to God, and you tell him all that's happening to you, and you ask him to fix it. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about a prayer relationship with God. I'm talking about the need to cultivate a two-way relationship with God where you're crying out to him. Yeah, it's okay to cry out, but he's beginning to speak back to you, right? I'm talking about a relationship where you sense, and I heard two words that we were praying in pre-service prayer, tangible, palatable. We need to have a relationship that is real. We're believers of Christ, and God is our Father, and we have a relationship with him. And we need to hear this inner voice of the Spirit speaking back to us in our heart, don't we? And we also need to hear God speaking clearly. You know the number one way that God speaks to you is through his word. We need to read his word, hear his word, and see him speaking to us personally. We need to develop this relationship called a love affair with God, with a love affair with Jesus. You think it's possible? It's something that we can grow into. We need to spend time. We need to spend time that when we come into the presence of God, immediately we sense, well, maybe not immediately, but when you sit in there, you begin to sense the peace of God. Just the peace that surpasses all understanding. Just being in the presence of God. And there's just a joy that comes by just spending time with God. Amen? We need to sense his nearness to us. We need to sense his nearness to us. But we also need to know and realize our dearness to him. Amen? How precious and how much he loves us. It's a love thing that he wants. He wants to express that back to us, but we need to sit back and to receive that, right? And take the time to be in God, be with God. I said, if there's ever a goal that you need to establish in 2018, it's to connect with your Creator. Connect with your Creator. There are 6 billion people alive on this planet today, and every single one of them has potential and has a purpose in this life, right? Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 says, we look at the sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above, below, visible, invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him, and finds its purpose in him. If you want to find out what your potential is, and I believe that even in this room, there are people who have untapped potential, unrealized talents and abilities that you're yet to use. But you will release them when you connect more with your Creator. Amen? You have potential and you have a purpose. God wants you to show clearly what your purpose is. He wants to release that potential. You've got to connect with your Creator. Can I also say this? And I heard another pastor say this too as well. The prayer is not a defense mechanism. Not just a defense mechanism when trouble comes into your life. Right? You know, some people, the only time they pray is when they have a problem. And when they pray, they're always praying about just the problem, right? Oh, God, help me. God, I'm in trouble financially. God, nobody loves me. I'm so lonely, God. I don't know. Why do the bad things have to happen to me? And that seems to be the echoing theme of both a lot of people's prayers, right? But there's another way to pray, and the Bible tells us there's another way to pray. Listen to Jesus' words. Listen to this in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, whatever you what? Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Let's read that again. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, pray for the potential. Pray for the potential. Pray for what's not there yet, right? Pray for the breakthrough. Pray for the opportunity. Pray for those open doors to come into your life, right? Pray for your kids. Pray for their potential. Pray and ask God for those things that you know that He wants to give you, which are the promises of God, right? Over 300 personal promises in the Bible alone that we can claim for ourselves. That's why you need to read your Bible, right? Pray for those things. Pray and believe that God wants to give you those things, right? Breakthroughs always begins with prayer. Amen? Okay, last point. Almost done. Take a leap of faith. Take a leap of faith. I believe that God is always encouraging us. He always wants us to take at least small steps of faith that lead to even greater steps of faith. Do you agree with that? But sometimes you have to take leaps of faith, right? This picture, does anybody recognize that animal? That's an African impala. African impala. It's an amazing animal. It can leap and it can jump. It can jump as high as 10 feet and it can leap as long as 30 feet. Now, you would think that because of its ability that no zoo could contain that animal, right? I mean, if he could jump over 10 feet and leap over 30 feet, it'd be impossible to contain that animal, right? Wrong. All they have to do is put a 3-foot wall around that gazelle and they can keep it confined. The question is, why? How? Why? Why is that? You know the answer to that? Because that gazelle, it will not jump to any place it cannot see where it will land. It will not jump unless it could see where it's going to land. We have the same problem, don't we? Don't we? We always want a guarantee. We want a guarantee of what's going to happen before we take steps of faith and obedience with God, don't we? But there's a problem with that. That eliminates faith. And what does the Bible say? We're a different breed of people than the rest of the world. Because as a people of God, we walk by, finish it, faith and not by sight. Sometimes you got to take a leap, right? Sometimes you got to take a leap. Not saying a blind leap, something that you pray about, that you get wise counsel, but it's going to be a leap of faith for you, right? I want to share with you, back in 2004, that's a long time ago now. That's over 13 years ago, right? Almost 14. Back in 2004, we had to take a leap of faith. Karen and I and our family, we had to take a leap of faith. We left a place called Tabor at a well-established church, and we moved, and we came to this place, to this church. We came to a place, to a small, fractured congregation that ended up being less than 35 people who were still in conflict. And we came to a place where we had no wages and where every month we went deeper into debt, like $2,200 every single month we went into debt, and to keep adding it up and adding up until it hits over $22,000. You know, but the year before we came here, before we decided to come, we came to a meeting here in Lethbridge, and there was, and I've shared this before, I'll share it again. There was a couple from the UK, from England, and their names were David and Mary Pitches. Is that right? David and Mary Pitches. David and Mary Pitches had, I don't even know if they're still alive now, it's a long time ago. But they were old back then. They were well recognized as the UK as being very prophetic, honorable men and women of God. Every time they had a meeting, they said they were just literally filled. They could fill stadiums. But they came to Lethbridge, and we went to a meeting at this other church, and David Pitches prophesied over us. And the words that he said to us is, didn't say hardly anything, just looked at us, laid hands on us. He said, faith for you is spelled R-I-S-K. That was over 13 years ago, and we're still here. Amen? 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 And I want to tell you, our future is great. I believe that for us as a church family, the best days are ahead of us. Right? I believe that 2018 is a foundation year for this church. I believe it's the year when we're going to build and establish a greater foundation. The bigger, the better the foundation, the more you can build on it. We're building foundation yet. You know, we're not really having a lot up. We're building foundation, right? One of the things I want to really encourage everyone is this, that we need to make sure that we are unified people, that we're unified, that we're one in heart and mind and in purpose. Amen? And that we're always ready to take leaps of faith as a church family, right? I believe the best days are truly ahead of us. And I want to say this, let's not get passive, right? Let's not get passive. But let's everyone just rise up. And let's all get together and work together, because together we can make a difference, right? So, church, let's keep advancing. Let's keep reaching for people for Jesus. That's why we exist, right? Can I also say this, that we cannot remain where we are as we are. We cannot remain where we are as we are. Because I believe that we'd be against the will of God. I believe that God wants us as a church and as a people, wants you and me and us to be risk takers. I believe that he doesn't want us to play it safe, right? And I want to just take you back to a story that Jesus talked about. Just real quick, I'll just go through it because our time is getting up close. It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. It's called the Parable of the Talents. In other versions, the New NIV version calls it the Parable of the Bags of Gold. Matthew's Gospel, 25, 14 to 30. Story goes this way. A wealthy master, goes on a long journey, has three servants. To one servant, he gives five bags of gold. To the second servant, he gives two bags of gold. And the other servant, he gives one bag of gold. Sorry, you end up being the one. It's just the way it works out in the story, right? Okay, so he comes back from his long journey. And first of all, he tells him, okay, here's this gold, here's this money, go invest it, make it grow. So he comes back after a long time, and he goes to the first servant comes to him and says, hey, master, you gave me five? Look, I've got 10 for you, multiplied to 10. You know what he says? Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness, right? The second servant comes up. He says, master, you gave me two bags? Look, I've got four bags for you. What does he say? He who is faithful in small and little things will get even more, right? Well done. Come share in your master's happiness. He goes, then that one servant comes up, says, master, I know you're a hard man. You know, you reap where you've not sown, you've gathered where you've not scattered. So I was afraid, so I just hid my money. But here it is. Here's your bag of gold back. What did the master say? Well done, good and faithful servant. Good thing you just kept it. Good thing you just didn't lose it. Is that what he said? No. He said, you wicked, lazy servant. You should have taken that money. You should have put it in the bank. At least it would have gained interest. Then he says, take it away from that one guy. Give it to the guy that has 10. Right? You know what that says? It says that we need to do something with our life. The bags of gold represent our life. Our talent, our time, our resources. Everything that God has given us. Right? He expects us not to play it safe. Right? He expects us to take some risks and do something with it. Amen. You know, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, to all mankind so they would not perish, right? Why did he do that? You know, why would he leave all the comforts of heaven? He did that for your salvation, for my salvation, right? to save us from hell and death. Jesus came. God came in the form of his son, Jesus, from heaven to earth. And he knew what was ahead of him. But he didn't play it safe, did he? He knew he was heading for the cross. He did not play it safe. Can I say this? Let's us not play it safe in 2018. Right? Let's take hold of every opportunity, every opening that God can give us, and let's move forward in our life. Amen. Amen. You know, and let's not play it safe. Let's not get caught up in our own small little worlds, right? You know, I'm going to finish by saying this. We are here by God's design on this earth today. We are here by God's design. We are to be messengers of hope. We have a message of hope and life. And we're called to be risk takers. Amen? And let's leave stuff behind. Like, let's leave ease and comfort behind. You know, I'm all into ease and comfort, right? I mean, I'm always complaining, you know, like, I need my comfort time. I need to just relax, right? But I also realize this, too much ease and too much comfort time, they eventually lead to, you think, I'll boredom, right? And if you stay in that ease, comfort mode, it eventually builds up into something called complacency. And complacency, a good definition of complacency is called spiritual death, right? I believe, like a lot of other people believe, that comfort and ease are way overrated. God wants us to do something with our life, right? So let's leave ease and comfort behind and let's move on to a year of good things. Amen? If you agree with that, say amen. 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 All right, let's pray. Let me close. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We just bow your heads just for a minute. You know, maybe there's somebody here today. You've never opened your heart to Jesus. You never asked him into your life to be personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says that anyone who is in Christ becomes a brand new creation. The old fades away, the new begins to take form in your life. And if you're, and what he's talking about is just not a small little change that he wants to make in your life. He wants to make a massive change in your life, right? God is into change, not just small change, but he wants to revolutionize your thinking, your attitudes, and the way that you live your life. Amen? So if that's how you feel, if that's how you, what you sense, I know I need that. I need a change in my life. I need the newness of God in my life. And if you've never prayed that prayer to receive Christ, I want you to pray that prayer with us today. In fact, I want everyone to pray this prayer. Can we all repeat this prayer out loud? Are you ready for this prayer? Let's say this to the Lord. Dear God, my heart is open. I'm receptive. I ask you to do a new thing in my heart today. Forgive me for all my sin. Make me into that new person. I open my life to you. Come into my heart. I believe in you, Jesus, and I receive you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to say, if you said that prayer, if you're someone here, you said that prayer for the very first time, you invited Christ into your heart, can you just raise your hand and just wave it? I received Christ into my heart. Anybody here? Raise your hand. All right. I see some hands back there, but they're raising for some other reasons. But anybody here receiving Christ today? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let me just pray a final prayer. Father, I pray that 2018 will be a significant year in every single person's life here. I pray that you would bless every single person here. I say, Lord, bless them. Make your face shine upon them. Prosper them.